Books of 2021, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Christmas Eve for those who celebrate, holiday break for many, which means a time away from work. With Omicron forcing many of us inside, maybe working remotely again or canceling plans, you might have a lot more free time as the year ends than you might have expected. So why not fill that with some reading? And that's why we'd like to know the book that you've started and put down and now you're looking forward to picking back up again, the one that you're hoping is under the Christmas tree if you get a Christmas present and want to pick up and read over this break, the one you're looking forward to reading when it comes out in 2022. Again, 800-423-8255 to share that with us. We have two guests here. Jennifer De Leon is an author and editor of Wise Latinas. She joins us from her home in Southborough. And Catherine Nazzaro, bookseller and manager at Porter Square Books in Cambridge. Jennifer, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
And Catherine, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So Jennifer, let's get juicy right away. The book you could not put down this year.
Oh my goodness, it's so hard to whittle it down to one, but I was such a fan of the novel, The Kindest Lie by Nancy Johnson. It's set right when President Obama was newly elected, and it tells a story of Ruth, who is a successful engineer in Chicago, and she and her husband are newly married, and they are about to have children, but she's got this lie. It's a kind lie. She actually had a baby years prior and she hasn't told him yet. She hasn't mentioned it yet. So it's a real page turner. And it's the kind of book that you start reading and you just like, you want the world to shut down until you're done reading it.
Why did it speak to you? I mean, there's something about books that reflect ourselves back to us, I think, if we love them the most. Why did it speak to you?
You know, it spoke to me because I was reading this book. I've never read a book like this. It tells the story of Ruth, who is, again, a successful engineer. She's a Black woman. She's in this state where the world is at her fingertips. Obama was just elected. She's got this wonderful husband, a great group of friends, a great family. But there's this like pulsing, throbbing secret in her past. And she needs to reckon with it. She needs to name it and identify it in order to move forward. And I just feel like everybody has some equivalent, maybe not that dramatic, yeah, right? But there, it was something that made me want to keep reading to figure out, like, is Ruth going to share this with her husband? And, you know, I don't want to spoil any part of the book, but if and when she does, like, how is he going to react? What's going to happen? It just has those qualities of a good story where you want to know what happens next.
And Catherine, what was the book that wouldn't leave you alone this year?
There were so many books I loved, but I think the one that I really, really couldn't put down was The Inheritance of Orchidea Divina by Zoraida Cordova. It's a fantasy novel. I kind of describe it as like Big Fish, but if it was a Latina family. It's about a grandmother who sends a letter to, has always had a sort of magic, and has sends a letter to her whole family and says, like, I'm about to die. Come home, claim your inheritance. And it's told non-linearly, partially about the family trying to figure out this magic they've inherited, and also like the secrets and baggage that comes with that, as well as the story of the grandmother's life and how she went on like these amazing adventures that nobody in the family knew about. I read it over the summer, and at one point I realized I was sitting outside in like 105 degree heat and had been sitting outside for an hour because I just could not stop reading this book. I've never before read a book that makes magic seem so real, that like when I came back to our world, I was like, what is happening here? There's
none of a little disappointing.
Exactly.
All right. So say the name of the book and the author again.
So it's The Inheritance of Orchidea Divina by Zoraida Cordova.
And Jennifer, say your book name again too.
The Kindest Lie by Nancy Johnson.
And we'll have the books that we're talking about, the lists, on our website at radioboston.org. We've got a lot of listeners who would like to share some of their picks, so I'm going to pick up the phone now at 800-423-8255. Jordan is on the line in Chelmsford. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hi. The book is Corruptible, and the author is Brian Klass, K-L-A-A-S. Fantastic book about... Are people, are corrupt people drawn to power, or does power corrupt us? Excellent book. I was obsessed with his podcast, which is called Power Corrupts.
Thanks, Jordan.
And so, he wrote a book.
So that's Corruptible, Who Gets Power and How It Changes Us by Brian Klass. We've got John on the line in Medfield. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, the book I'd recommend is The Dawn of Everything by David Graeber. I haven't read it yet, but it came out this year posthumously. Don't know if I pronounced that word right. But David Graeber, legendary anthropologist, wrote some great books like Debt and Jobs. So really just looking forward to reading this one.
All right. So we've got some other recommendations from listeners there. I noticed, Jennifer and Catherine, that those were nonfiction books that we were hearing about. Actually, the one I brought to the table, also a nonfiction book called Empire of Pain by Patrick Radden Keefe. And it's a really, really in-depth look at the Sackler family, Purdue Pharma, and the history of the rise of OxyContin and addiction. What about nonfiction for the two of you? Jennifer.
So I love this memoir called Woodrow on the Bench, Life Lessons from a Wise Old Dog by Jenna Blum. I have to tell you, I wasn't always a dog person. I grew up kind of afraid of dogs, and I didn't understand how they were like people to friends and family. And when I met my now husband, he had a dog, and I thought, oh boy, this might be a deal breaker. But I grew to love Nina, our dog, right? And she has since passed, but I get it now. I get why people love dogs. And so this is a memoir about a dog named Woodrow that Jenna, she lived with for 14 years, and they would go to the bench outside of her brownstone on Commonwealth Avenue, right in Boston. And Woodrow was friends with so many people and, you know, people who passed by on the bench. And the structure is such that she shares all of the people that Woodrow would meet, but also the lessons that he taught her. And this is a real, you know, tearjerker. It's a wonderful gift, too, I think, to give to dog lovers.
And you brought a little bit to read. Why don't you go ahead and do that? This is from Woodrow on the Bench, Life Lessons from a Wise Old Dog by Jenna Blum.
There were a lot of people, I suspected, who, faced with Woodrow's crisis today, would have let him go, who might have put him down when he started having trouble with stairs. Enough is enough, they might have said. He's had a good life. But I was stubborn, and I loved attempting the impossible. If he told me something couldn't be done, I wanted to do it all the more. So many well-meaning people had advised me, my parents, thank God, not among them, that it wasn't possible to earn a living writing books. I should do something practical. I had thanked them, then gone on to make a career out of it. I had a Winston Churchill quote on the wall above my desk. Never give in, never give in, never give in. Whatever I loved, I fought for, and there was nothing I loved more than Woodrow.
We are talking about the great books of 2021 and welcome your contributions. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We just heard there an excerpt that Jennifer De Leon, author and editor of Wise Latinas, read us from Woodrow on the Bench. Now to Catherine Nazzaro, bookseller and manager at Porter Square Books in Cambridge. We're talking nonfiction. What would you put on your nonfiction list?
So I like really weird nonfiction. I think the best nonfiction book I read this year is Dark Archives by Megan Rosenblum. The subtitle is A Librarian's Investigation into the Science and History of Books Bound in Human Skin.
Oh, my.
And it's not as dark as it sounds.
It sounds pretty dark.
It does. It goes really into like the idea of why humans find these books so fascinating. It goes into the ethics of it. It goes into the history of the people books have been made out of, the history of the people books have been written about. And it's just, it was incredibly well researched and gives a really like wide array of topics on this topic.
So I have to just stop you for a second, just to clarify. You said the phrase books, people that books have been made out of, and you actually mean that. That is not metaphorical.
It is not metaphorical. It's actually, there's a famous one in Boston about a criminal who wrote his own memoir and decided to bind the book in his own skin, which is a lot. But I was surprised to find out that one was actually a true story.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I didn't see that coming. This is why we do live radio. Okay, so don't know that we'll have any callers on that, but I do want to put the line out here one more time, 800-423-8255. Jennifer, am I the only one that just about had a heart attack there?
No, I'm with you.
So, Catherine, I'm going to stay with you for a second and go back to Jennifer. What's flying off the shelves in your store?
Let's see. Right now, I mean, the 1619 project, we have like probably sold the most of that book out of everything that we've sold since we opened the new store. But also, actually, one of the callers just mentioned it, The Dawn of Everything. Mm-hmm. We haven't been able to keep on the shelves at all. Everyone wants that book right now.
The Dawn of Everything. Okay. And that is one of our callers called in with that recommendation. So, Jennifer, I want to come back to you. And I have no idea if this is an annoying question or not. So I'm going to ask it to you, and you should feel free, once again, live radio, to tell me if this is an annoying question. Is there a book you read this year where you were like, I wish I'd written that?
Oh, wow. I love that question, actually, because as a writer, as an author, I often feel that way. The book that comes to mind is My Broken Language by Kiara Jurez. And she actually co-produced the musical In the Heights. She's also an author, a memoirist. And she's to me is like the gold standard. I mean, this memoir is about her coming of age with two languages, English and Spanish. Her mother's Puerto Rican and her father's white. And she grew up in New York, and then they moved upstate to the country. And she writes about, you know, kind of her relationship with losing and loving the Spanish language. And it's written like poetry. It really is. It's the kind of book that you can't read it when you're doing anything else. You want to savor every sentence, every word. And that is definitely a book I wish I had written.
Do you think you'll ever write a memoir?
Oh, definitely. Yes. I'm beginning to work on one now. So we'll see what 2022 brings. But I do have a YA novel coming out in August. It's called Borderless. And I love YA. You know I love YA.
Yeah, we had you on for your book, Don't Ask Me Where I'm From, which was YA.
Yeah, thank you. Yep.
Yeah. So I want to put it on the record now. When the memoir is finished, I would like to read it, please, and we'd like to have you back here to talk about it.
All right. Thank you.
Excellent. All right. I'm going to go back to the phones, 800-423-8255. Stephanie in Milton, what's your recommendation?
My recommendation is Still Life by Rebecca Pacheco. She's a yoga instructor in the Boston area.
All right. And what do you like about it?
It's a great way to integrate meditation into your daily life. And she's just a poet almost with her words. She's so inspiring. It's a great read.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Nathan in Andover. Nathan, you've got a recommendation for us too.
Yeah, I wanted to recommend 21 Lessons for the 21st Century by Dr. Yuval Noah Harari. It's a book on the risks that we face in the 21st century, and I'm hoping lessons for how to approach them.
Thank you for that recommendation as well, Nathan. And again, Catherine, I'm going to come back to you. We are in reality. I mean, so many of the books that people have recommended to me this year, so many that we're talking about, callers are calling about, are nonfiction books. I've talked to you both about, you know, what's captured your imagination. There are moments when we want to escape as well. And I know you were really taken by a book called Honey Girl. Maybe tell us a little bit about that and read the passage that you brought us.
Perfect. Yes. So Honey Girl by Morgan Rogers was actually kind of a life-changing book for me. It is a coming-of-age story. It's a story about Grace Porter, who has just graduated from her PhD program and decides to have a crazy night and gets drunk and married in Las Vegas. And then she wakes up and leaves and goes back to her life and tries to figure out what she's doing next, and finds her wife, who she had kind of abandoned after that one night. And it's about her figuring out herself and also her new relationship, which it's just incredibly beautifully written.
But, go ahead, read us that passage.
Wonderful. So this passage comes at the end of chapter 2. It's,
The stars glimmer above her. They gleam under the gaze of people like Grace, searching for meaning in their formations. They are doing their best for all the people that stare up at the dark and do not know that they, too, shine brilliantly. The door shuts behind her. The universe says, places, everyone, and its inhabitants gather. They are doing their best.
So, Jennifer, when I hear that, I think about all the conversation already in this segment where people have talked about how the writing is almost poetry. How important is beautiful writing to a great book?
Oh, my goodness. I think it's essential. Those are the bricks that make the building, right? And they're part of the structure. They're so inherent to a good story. I think so many times we want to, you know, ingest, like more and more and more. We live in such a fast-paced society, but there's nothing like sitting and really savoring a book and appreciating all the craft that goes into it from the writer. All the words that are there are on the page because so many other words aren't. And there, I always tell my students this, you know, that like for all the pages that end up in the book, there are hundreds that have been, you know, put in the wastebasket or recycled, of course. And it's important to remember that books are art.
I'm going to take a second here. Our producer, Walter Wuthman, is pointing out, and I think this is just pitch perfect for the conversation that we're having, that American novelist, she's a journalist and essayist, Joan Didion died on Thursday today in New York, age 87, from Parkinson's disease, while telling me that Slouching Toward Bethlehem is one of his all-time favorite books. Is she an author that spoke to either of you, or were you familiar with her work? And if not, that's okay. I know we have listeners that she did speak to.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Wow. Speaking of live radio, that's really sad to hear. And yes, her work has hugely influenced me as a writer in general, but also someone writing nonfiction, much of which takes place in Central America. And her book, Salvador, was really groundbreaking. I mean, she was a journalist in the Civil War in El Salvador when really there were no women there. And I will never forget a detail from that book. She said that she saw these mass graves, bodies in dumpsters, and that she asked why one had a full head of hair. And the person she was with said that hair is the last thing to disintegrate on a body. And I will never forget that detail. And that's her trademark. She just went right for the jugular with these images that you'll never forget.
I appreciate you sharing that memory with us. Catherine, last thought from you, whether it's on the passing of Joan Didion or just another book that's really sitting in your heart.
Well, I have actually never read Joan Didion. She has been one of the authors that I have always meant to get to and haven't, so now might be the time.
Yeah.
But if it's for another book that is just something that really spoke to me, I read The Wolf and the Woodsman by Ava Reed this year, and that is something that it's just incredibly beautiful and incredibly well written, and I feel hold a similar place in my heart, actually.
All right. And we're about to wrap, but I do want to thank Emma for calling and recommending The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid, and Russ for recommending Still Foolin' 'Em by Billy Crystal. I love talking books. Jennifer De Leon, author and editor of Wise Latinas, thanks for joining us to do that.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Yes. And Catherine Nazaro, bookseller and manager at Porter Square Books in Cambridge, thanks to you too.
Thank you so much for having me.